Well, hello indeed, Rob.
Nice to have you with us. I'm assuming that you've had a little bit of a hands-on with the movie?
Yes, I'm co-producer of it.
Ah, that would be pretty much hands-on, wouldn't it?
I guess you could say that, yes. It keeps me fairly busy anyway.
Are you happy with the way it's turning out?
Well, I saw a rough cut in Hollywood just the other day, and I'm absolutely thrilled, to be honest. It really is looking absolutely fantastic. I mean, to start with, it's visually beautiful. And, of course, the story is adhered to. It's going to be terrific. It's wonderful.
All right. And when I spoke to Andrew Adamson, which is probably about 3 or 4 months ago now, he sort of hinted that there may be the possibility of other ones to follow.
Well, we certainly hope so. It all depends entirely on how many of you guys go and see the movie and how often you go and see it.
I don't think us...
if this movie is a success, obviously we'll go on and we'll make the next one.
Well, hopefully the little $4 million here in New Zealand will make a little bit of a difference.
Let's hope so.
how much
if you all go and see it 3 or 4 times.
Well, that's the one. That'll do it, won't it? Most of us, just to look at C.S. Lewis for a little bit, most of us get our impression of him, I mean, not from the books, but from the Shadowlands movie.
Well, that's interesting. You know, Shadowlands, the movie, was emotionally, in terms of the emotional transitions that the protagonist went through, extremely accurate. But in actual terms of the character portrayal of Jack himself and the way he was dressed and so on, it's completely inaccurate. It's not historically accurate in any way at all. Jack, for example, was never as sartorially elegant as Tony Hopkins portrayed him.
Right.
Jack was always dressed in scruffy clothes. You know, Jack never drove a car. Jack didn't wear a watch and so on and so forth. And also the script that Bill Nicholson wrote depicts Jack as a man who surrounded himself with rather lesser minds, inferior minds, to avoid being challenged. In fact, of course, the absolute opposite was true.
Mm.
Jack surrounded himself with the greatest minds available in Oxford of the day, and that probably meant in England, if not the world, people like Wrong, Tolkien, and others, because he loved being challenged. There's nothing he enjoyed more than a good savage debate, you know, in good part. These guys, they formed a sort of society surrounding Jack called the Inklings, and they spent their time tearing each other's work to ribbons. So when they read each other's work aloud, I mean, they would each read what they were writing aloud to the others, and they would tear it to shreds. But at the same time, they maintained this enormously good friendship throughout their lives.
Tear it to shreds in love, of course. Tear it to shreds in love, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. But of course, the result of that is works like The Lord of the Rings. And the Narnian Chronicles went through a fire of refinement under the greatest literary minds of the century.
Did you have much to do with them?
Well, I met them and attended a couple of meetings, yes. I mean, I was only a child at the time. Yeah. They'd give me my half pint of beer and put me in the corner, and they'd go off and have their little meeting. But the one thing, of course, that is always lost about, in recollections of Jack, in biographies and in the movie Shadowlands, was the enormous humor and vibrancy of his wit. You couldn't be with Jack for more than 5 or 10 minutes without roaring with laughter. And the hallmark of the Inklings meetings were the great gales of laughter that came from their group as they discussed each other's work.
Actually, I remember, if I remember correctly, at the introduction to The Horse and His Boy, which we're playing on air at the moment from the radio, the Focus on the Family Radio Theatre one, there's a little bit of humour comes out when you and your brother first saw a wardrobe at his place.
Well, the wardrobe actually that we saw there, and I remember it very well, is now in the Wade Center at Wheaton College, Illinois, in a sort of an honored place.
Well, right.
But I wouldn't pretend for a moment that it is the wardrobe that stimulated The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. In fact, of course, I know it's not. There was no specific wardrobe. It was just a literary device to get the children from one world to another.
But you did ask him if it was, didn't you?
Of course, of course.
What was his reply?
It might be.
Of course, that was a very ordinary wardrobe, nothing like the one in the movie that we see.
Well, it's not exactly an ordinary wardrobe because it was in fact hand-carved out of black oak by Jack's Welsh grandfather.
Right.
So it does have a great deal of sort of sentimental and family value.
That's pretty special.
But it certainly didn't have a magic wood and snowy landscape in the back of it.
Yes. There was a lot of Christian analogies in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe all the way through the series, the Narnian series. Do they come out in the movie?
Well, you know, much like the book, you will find in the movie, as you will in the book, just as much Christian symbolism as you want to. I know lots and lots of people who've read the books and never dreamt that there was any Christian symbolism in them at all. I've known Jews who have found Judaism represented, and so on and so forth.
Right.
This is not a Christian movie, any more than Jack decided to sit down and write a Christian book. In fact, Jack himself said, we do not need more people writing Christian books. What we need is more Christians writing good books. And I couldn't agree more. And I think we don't need more people making Christian movies. And what we need is more Christians making good movies. And although there are very few Christians involved in the production of this one, I think we have made a very good movie.
Mm.
It's by no means a Christian movie. It's not supposed to be. It's simply a visual telling of the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Beautifully done, I may add.
Yes. Well, it'd have to be beautifully done. It's filmed in New Zealand by a Kiwi.
I'll tell Andrew you said that.
Actually, his mum is a Christian too, and he had a church upbringing, so I'm not quite sure where he is with his faith.
Well, I'm not quite sure either. We haven't discussed it in any depth, but I do know that Andrew's parents were both missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and he grew up there.